Welcome, everybody. If you haven't been here before, my name is Neil. This is Spirit-Filled Living. A couple of ground rules in the class. This is meant to be interactive, so questions are welcome. Or if you have comments, I just ask that you raise your hand so I can call on you. And if you have something to say, just speak up loud enough where everybody in here can hear you. I'm going to be teaching on different things tonight, but while I'm talking, I want everybody to understand it's okay if we don't all agree. So if you see things differently than I do, or if I see things differently than you do, that's okay. We're all on a journey. We're all here to learn about Jesus and learn about all the things he's made available to us. And we're all in different levels of understanding, and we're all growing. So it's the goal of the class is not that everybody agrees on every single detail. My goal is that when we leave, we have a clearer view of God's character than when we came in. That's really the heart of, that's what I'm after, all right? So we have a couple of special things that are going to happen this week. I've got a couple of people that are going to come share some testimonies. So I'd like to ask my good friend, Rob, if you would come up here and share a little bit about what you were telling me about. So this is Rob Bones. Say welcome.
Keep it real brief and make sure Neil gets all the important stuff tonight. But I had a fortunate opportunity to go to India, and some of you supported me financially and prayed for me as well, so I deeply appreciate all of your support in that aspect. But while we were over there, I had the opportunity to preach at a church and deliver the gospel to some people over there. And after we got done with the service, one of the women, an Indian woman, walked up to me, and I don't understand Hindi or Marathi, their language, and she obviously did not understand English either. But I asked her if I could pray for her, if I could bless her, and when I said the word pray, she instinctively did this and closed her eyes. And so while she had her hands folded like this and closed her eyes, I put my hand on her head and I began to bless her family, her finances, her relationships, her health, and all those other things that we would bless other people with. And while I was doing that, she began to tremble. Her face, her eyes began to open and close. Her lips began to tremble, and her body began to tremble as well. And that wasn't normal. And so that was pretty odd for me. So I stopped praying and blessing her, and I looked at her, and she still continued to tremble. And something just washed over me and said, "That's a demon." And so I began to cast a demon out. And I've only been saved in for about, I guess today is 2 years and 10 days. So I'm kind of new at this, delivering the gospel and healing people and casting out demons. But with Neil, I took the last time this class was offered, I took it and listened intently and tried to follow Neil's example and what he talked about. And one of the things that I remember Neil saying is when you pray for people, when you're blessing them or whenever you're trying to heal them, is keep your eyes open because you will see things with these people, whether they begin to get faint, you want to catch them, or if I had my eyes closed, like I typically pray for people with my eyes closed, and most of us probably pray with our eyes closed as well, keep your eyes open because I never would have seen her tremble. Never would have seen those tremors on her face and noticed that demon there. And so I began to cast out the demon, and being newly saved, so to speak, 2 years in 10 days.
That's awesome.
I didn't have the confidence that I truly needed. I knew that the Bible says that we have the authority. Neil said we have the authority through the Holy Spirit, and Jesus gave it to us, just like he gave to the apostles and all that. But I truly didn't have the confidence in that authority that we all have with the Holy Spirit with us. And so I began to talk to the demon, and I began to tell the demon that I have the authority through the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, you must leave. I command you out.
Amen.
I began to get more confident as I spoke to this demon. And three times we went back and forth, basically. And she never said anything. She was trembling. And all of a sudden, when I told the demon, I said, "You must leave in Jesus' name immediately," she stopped trembling. And it was almost as if she was waking up from a sleep. She still was like this, but still trembling. And she slowly began to come alive. And her countenance changed and a huge smile on her face.
That is awesome.
So before we left the church and got on our bus, headed to another event that day, she came up to the side of the bus looking in the window, just banging on the side of the bus, and heard just a great big smile on her face. Mm-hmm. And I knew that she knew that Jesus had had done that.
Amen.
And I also...
Yeah, that's great.
So one of the other things before I walked away from her is I told her that Jesus just did that for her. Jesus just healed her. And one of the word over there for Jesus is Yeshua. And so I told her, I said, Yeshua just healed you. So she knew. She knew that Jesus had healed her and
that's
the
great.
Kingdom of God had come near to her.
Amen.
Two other real quick ones. One of our teammates had a headache after lunch. We were working in some pretty serious heat and some awful weather out there at a medical clinic. And so she had a headache. And Nolan, who was our team leader, he actually told me, he said, Rachel's got a bad headache. And I said, well, why don't we go pray for her? So we got up and we went over and we asked if we could pray for Rachel. Mm-hmm. And she said, absolutely. And so we put I put a hand on her head and Nolan put a hand on her head. And we prayed and commanded the headache and the pain to go away. And, 30 seconds or so, she began to smile. Like, a huge smile on her face said, it's gone.
Amen.
No more headache. It's
amen.
And then the last one I'll share with you is I had an infant that mother came in a medical clinic and baby was sweating and crying and carrying on and was hot as fire. So, and looked on the sheet and said fever for the infant. And I began to pray, put my hand on its head and I commanded the fever out just like Neil talked about with a complete authority over this fever and the child quit crying. And I handed the child back to the mother, and we had an interpreter with us, and I asked the interpreter to ask the mother, does the child feel hot or is it cold now? And they went back and forth, and the interpreter said, the baby's cool now.
Amen. You break the fever. Yeah.
So, one of the things that I just, being new to this, know you have the authority, that Christ has given us the authority with the Holy Spirit. And that was the biggest thing for me to understand and to truly believe and have that confidence in that. And so if there's anything I can impart to anybody who's new at this or hasn't actually done it, you have it. You have all the authority
that's right.
given to you. No different than Jesus got it when he received the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, thank you, man. That's great. God bless you, man. Hey, that's great. Thank you. Isn't that awesome?
Amen. It is awesome.
I got Mike. You want to come up? So we got another. Y'all welcome Mike. He's going to share a testimony.
I've been born again for almost 48 years, but I still feel like I'm just getting started. I still feel like I'm maybe 3 days old with Jesus. So time doesn't matter. You know, what matters is he's faithful and God is good all the time. And this is something that's happened to me that I'm still in a kind of a semi-state of shock over because it's very recent. So about 40 years ago my wife was telling me, you know, you got something wrong with you, the way you sleep, besides snoring loud, you know, you're holding your breath and you're choking and you're doing all this stuff, and I just blew her off. So for 40 years, it turns out I've had sleep apnea. And then about 9 years ago, it got really bad in 09, it's almost 10 years now, and it got so bad that I had a study, and the study said I got severe sleep apnea, I just stopped breathing completely. And so my O2 goes down to nothing, and I got no energy, and I'm driving, you know, almost having car wrecks, you know, I can't stay awake in meetings, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you got to have a CPAP machine to the day you die, boy, you're going to have this machine the rest of your life. And I even saw a specialist about busting up my sinuses and doing all this stuff. And he said, you don't want to really do that. You'll hate us when you get done. It ain't going to really do that much good. So I've had this machine that's become my best friend. I feel like I have Stockholm Syndrome. You know, it's me and this machine. And I'm embarrassed to even talk about it because I have so much pride. But so I heard about this device. In fact, I've been hearing about it on the radio. And then my ENT, who is not a quack, sends me this thing about this device called Inspire. It's an implant that eliminates the CPAP. So 2 weeks ago or so, I went for another study because, you know, I was qualified by my size and everything, but he needed to do some further checking to see what how I was doing on my hand. So the bottom line was, I had this study done, and they said the thing, and then it was the next camera down on the road, still in the road, so I'm qualified.
drum right there at Trenton Church prayed for me that night. I was praying that I would qualify for the thing. That's where I was. I didn't have the faith to believe anything different. And all day, he's so bold, man. He said, I'm just going to pray. When you go in there and have that study, I'm going to tell you, you don't have no more sleep out.
Amen.
And then, you know, I was like, yeah, that's a good thought. You know, that's a good thought. That's where I was, you know. And so I'm waiting for the nurse to call me to give me my time when I have to go in and have the camera thing done tomorrow. And this was yesterday. So I get a call about 3:30. Actually, it was on my voicemail. And I had neglected it. And I finally called her back. And she says, cancel your surgery procedure. You no longer have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Me being the analytical type, you can relate to this. I'm like him. I figured in my brain, now wait a minute, maybe this is a trick. So I had to go call them, and I had to make sure they confirmed that. You mean I don't hold my breath? Yes. You don't need a machine? Yes. And so I'm just, man, I'm floating. So anybody need prayer for that in particular or relatives, I want to pray with you tonight before I leave.
Let's do it right now. Does anybody need prayer for that, for yourself or for a relative? Just raise your hand.
There we go. All right, we're going to need some help on this.
No, you got, just go over the crowd, man.
All right, okay, so Father God, I just thank you that you know respect your person. And what you do for one, you'll do for many.
Amen, that's right.
And I think that somebody in this room has got the faith. It may not even be the people with the hands up, but somebody does. And the Holy Ghost got all the faith we need, Father.
Amen, that's
in
right.
Jesus, I just take your authority over sleep apnea, holding breath, coughing, choking, snoring, the whole bit, not sleeping good at night, and I cast it out of these people, and I command it to leave, and I command freedom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I feel like the Lord, I may give a testimony, if it's all right.
Okay, yeah. Okay. If it's a... Okay.
I'd just like to encourage us tonight in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm kind of 79 now, I'm on the downside of retiring, but for many years I was in the ministry, and I was at a minister's conference in Sunburst, Montana, just up on the Canadian border, and I had a friend there and her husband, and her husband was a general in the Army. And so I'd seen him a year before, and I went back the following year, and as I walked into the conference center, everybody said to me, have you heard about Linda Swanson? And I can give her name because she gives us testimony, and she's a real lady of the Lord. And I said, no, what's wrong with Linda? And she said, well, she's pregnant, and the baby was 3 months old, and it died. And the doctors say that the baby's starting to atrophy. She refuses to have the operation to take the baby through the operation. And so they say the baby's starting to atrophy and they're afraid she's going to get blood poisoning. And so I've been praying and seeking the Lord. I said, Lord, I'd really like to see some miracles and this and that and another. You know. And so when the first night I was there at the conference, I'll back up a minute. The church had gone on, we all went on a 3-day fast for Linda. Mm-hmm. And the first night of the conference, I walked into the conference room and Linda was standing there. And the Lord said, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And I looked at Linda and I said, Lord, I can't do it and I won't do it. And I turned around, I walked out of the convention center and went back down to where I was staying with some friends of mine, and forgot all about it. So the next morning I go up to the convention center to get breakfast, and I'm walking in the front door, and who's the first person that I see but Linda Swanson? And I looked at Linda Swanson, and she looked at me, and the Lord said, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And I said, Linda, I said, I think I have a word for you from the Lord. I said, do you want to hear it? And she said, yeah, I do. And so we got two chairs, and I was facing her and she was facing me. And if I would have thought, I went and got some of the other ministers that were there in a conference, but I was kind of like under a little attack and anxious and,
yeah,
and so forth. And so I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And I had absolutely nothing. It seemed like, you know, heaven was iron and the earth was brass. And I was getting ready to crawl under that seat. And the Lord said, say it a second time. And I looked at Linda and I said, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And when I said that, the power of God hit me. And the power of God hit her. And the prophecy come back, come forth and said, thus saith the Lord, it shall be a boy. It shall walk in my ways and not depart thereof. For I shall be a father unto it. For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And she knew that the Lord was all over her, and I knew that the Lord was all over me. And so the next morning she went back down to Helena, Montana, which is the next big city south of where we were, and went into the doctor's office, and the doctor examined her, and he said, I'm going to send you to a specialist. He said, something's different here, and I don't know what's going on. And so they sent her down to the specialist, and she came back that night, and she gave the testimony. The specialist says there was I don't know what they're talking about. There's nothing wrong with that lady.
Yes. Amen.
And she went on to have a boy. Praise the Lord. Awesome.
Praise the Lord.
His name's Nathan, and I've followed his life over the years, and he's in the ministry.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
Able to
do. Can I pray for you before you sit back down?
Yes.
Can I pray for you before you sit back down?
Yeah,
I just,
sure.
All right. So Father, I pray your blessing on Marvin, Lord. I just bless him, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the things that you have set out in front of him, that he's going to accomplish everything you've called him to. Lord, that he will fulfill his calling. And Lord, I just bless him, Lord. I bless his ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, man.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, God bless you. All right, I'm gonna pray for the group, and then we're gonna get started with the teaching. Okay, so Father, I just thank you for all these testimonies, Lord, that your word is true. You are the God that heals. You are the God that delivers. You are the God that sets free. You're the God that forgives. You're the God that rescues. And so, Father, we just love you. I thank you, Father. You chose to love us, and so right now we just acknowledge the fact that you love us, no matter what we do. We just thank you for that love, Lord. We receive it. Holy Spirit, Jesus told us that you are the one that guides us into all truth and teaches us all things. So we invite your ministry in here tonight. We invite your teaching ministry in here tonight to change our thinking. Lord, we pray for your light to come. In areas where there was darkness, Lord, let your light come. Now, as I'm praying this, you guys just invite him in your own way in your heart, because we want, this is what we want. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. If we're in error about something, we ask you, we request you to come bring correction. If there's confusion, Lord, we just, Holy Spirit, we pray you bring clarity. Lord, if there's things that we were ignorant of, Lord, that we would no longer be ignorant. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, what you told us about the seed in Mark chapter 4. That when the seed, which is the Word of God, finds good soil, that it always produces fruit 30, 60, or 100 fold. So we're going to get at least a 30 fold return on what we're talking about tonight at minimum. But Lord, I believe you for the 100 fold, that the things that we talk about in here and these testimonies, people are going to go way beyond that. They're going to do things that people have never even thought of, never even dreamed of. So Holy Spirit, I thank you. That's your will for all of us, to walk in your power and to demonstrate your goodness and to rescue people in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I just bless your sons and daughters. I pray your peace in this room. And, Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, we can pray for that. That's good. All right. So so we've covered so far. We've talked about how Jesus was our example, how he was, even though he's God eternal, he came to earth as a man somehow. And he put limits on him, the same limits that every other human has. So Jesus came to earth as a man, even though he's God. And when he walked the earth, he subjected himself to human limits. What I mean by that, and this is just review from week one, is that, for example, God is everywhere, right? God is everywhere. So we don't have to travel to talk to God. God is, no matter where you are, God is there. But when Jesus was on the earth, he wasn't using that power. He was in one place at one time. And if someone wanted to talk to Jesus, they had to go where he was. Right? Amen. You couldn't talk to him in China when he's in Europe, for example. Okay? You had to go where he was. So even though he's God and he has the right to be everywhere at the same time, he chose to lay that aside. God also knows everything. But while Jesus was walking the earth, people asked him questions like, what's the time of the end? He says, I don't know. Nobody knows that but the Father. So even though Jesus has the right to know everything, he laid that right aside and he became to where he couldn't know anything that a human couldn't know. Or when we talk about God being all-powerful, God never gets tired. God never has to rest or take a nap. God never runs out of energy. But if you remember, when Jesus was walking on earth, he had to rest. He slept at night. He got hungry. He had to eat. So even though God is all-powerful and Jesus is all-powerful, when he came to earth, he set that aside. So what that means is Jesus couldn't do anything you couldn't do because he had the same limits you have. And so for the first 30 years of his life, he never did a single miracle. You can prove this in the Bible by looking at his very first miracle in John chapter 2 when he turned the water to wine. It said that was his first miracle and he was 30 years old. Now the one thing that changed before Jesus started doing miracles was that the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized in the Jordan River. Okay? So when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, no longer is he just a man. And I say that reverently. Now he is a human being that is cooperating with the Spirit of God. So he is the infinite power of God, the Holy Spirit, with him to accomplish God's will. Okay? And so we looked at how right after Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, the language in the Bible, and you could really see this in Mark chapter 4, where it talks about Jesus. It says, now Jesus is led by the Spirit and he into the wilderness. And then it says he returned in the power of the Spirit, not in the power of Jesus. And then he started doing miracles and casting out demons and healing people and all these kind of things. And what we learn from this is that the things Jesus was doing is what it looks like when a human being will cooperate with the Spirit of God. And so the same Holy Spirit that was enabling Jesus to do all these things is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of every believer. Okay? Every believer has the same Spirit that Jesus had, not a different one. And when we think about the Spirit of God, we need to not think about him as like some kind of a commodity. Like some people get 70 pounds of the Holy Spirit, and some people get 30. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when the Holy Spirit is there, he is there fully. So I have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, and so do you. Okay? You have the same Spirit of God living inside of you that Jesus had when he was doing all of his miracles. And all of the miracles and all the healings and all the amazing things he was saying and doing is all done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he even said this explicitly several times. I'm thinking of Matthew 12:28, when the Pharisees were accusing Jesus of that he was casting out demons by the power of Satan. And he turned around to them and he said, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Okay? When Jesus cast out demons, it was by the Spirit of God. The same way that when Rob was sharing his testimony, when he cast that demon out of that lady, that was by the Spirit of God. When you cast out demons, which you're going to be doing, you're going to do that by the Spirit of God. Jesus told us Jesus said in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this is the Great Commission. This is for all believers. Preach the gospel. Then he said, these signs will follow them that believe. It did not say these signs will follow them that go to seminary. These signs will follow them that work for a Christian organization. These signs will follow them who study for many years. These signs will follow them that live a holy life. These signs will follow them that believe. And the first thing on the list was, in my name, they will cast out demons. So if you're a believer, casting out demons is part of your welcome to the kingdom kit. Also in that same passage, he says, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That means you, that's a sign that follows people that believe. Isn't that awesome? So one thing I do in my life is when I find something like that that applies to me that seems like, man, how can that be true? But Jesus said it, so it's got to be right. Then I do this. I will make it personal and I will say, I preach the gospel to every creature. I cast out demons in the name of Jesus. When I lay my hands on the sick, they recover. And so I'm making it personal. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when I'm saying these things out of my own mouth, I'm helping myself believe them. And that these signs follow them that believe. Now, when I first started doing that, I wasn't seeing any of that stuff happen. I was just doing it by faith. The Bible's true. Even, no, it doesn't matter what I see. This is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus said. This applies to me. So I started saying that out of my mouth. I wrote it on a piece of paper and stuck it on my bathroom mirror. And every day I would say that about myself while I was getting ready for work. And guess what? Before too long, I find myself involved in those activities a lot. Casting out demons. Just did that today. Preaching the gospel. Telling people the good news that God loves them and is not mad at them. And healing the sick. And I don't have anything anybody else doesn't have. I have the same Holy Spirit that you do. And so all the hundreds of healings I have seen, you can see too. Okay? And the point of this class is not for you to get something you don't have so much as it is for you to find out what's already inside of you. Yes. What did you get when you believed in Jesus? Because it's more than you thought. And I'm still finding out. And I don't know that there's an end to it. Okay. Now, one of the biggest changes that ever happened to me in my life, in my walk with the Lord, was when on August 25th, 2006, while my wife was getting healed from two incurable conditions, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Now, that is something that I had grown up. Nobody ever really talked about that. And when people, not my parents, but just people around in our denomination, the idea was that things like speaking in tongues is kind of wrong. It's kind of taboo. Some people would go so far as to say that kind of stuff is from the devil. Okay? So I had a lot of baggage with me that I carried around when I thought about speaking in tongues and things like that. So when I first heard about it and I first believed that it was real, I didn't really have a good folder to put it in my thinking. And so I would go when I'd be at a place where they're going to offer to pray for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I don't really know what that is, but if it's from God, I want it because God is good, right? That's just my logic. And so the first time I ever went up, I was with a friend of mine. We came up to the front and the man praying was going down the road praying for people. And when he got to my friend, he prayed for her and she went, boom, and just fell out on the floor. And I'd never seen that before. And I was like, what is going on? Then he got to me and he prayed for me and he blew on my forehead and I was like, what? Like nothing happened to me. But my friend was laying there on the floor speaking in tongues. Okay? And then the evening ended, and because of that experience, I know my friend's not lying to me. Okay? I may not believe all these religious people, but I know this person. Okay? So I believed it was real. And so from that day forward, I started praying about that. And I would go back and forth on, do you get baptized with the Holy Spirit when you get saved? Or is it a second thing? And I never could understand. And I had all these other questions. Is it like you have to reach some level and then you get that? Right? Is that make people, these people are super Christians and these people are kind of second class? And I had all these questions. And so the way my brain works, if I don't catch myself, I'm going to research my way out of it. But I was trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit through research. I'm going to tell you guys a hint. That doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. Okay? And then the night that I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, the man put his hand on my chest and he said prophetically, "Don't try to figure it out. Just speak." And so when he said that, I knew that was God talking through this man's voice. And so right then I just said, "Well, what do I have to lose?" And so I just went for it. I stepped out of the boat. And you know what? The water helped me up. And I started speaking by my own choice. And God met me right there the same way he met Peter when Peter put his foot out of the boat. And I spoke in tongues for a while, and it was amazing. And different people have different kind of physical experiences when they first receive it, but mine, it was like I was almost watching a movie of myself as this flood of God's presence comes into the room. So much so that I forgot that my wife was out walking the neighborhood getting healed. Right. So anyway, it was a very powerful night for me. And so after that, I felt like I had, have y'all ever seen The Matrix? I felt like I just came out of The Matrix. I was like, why don't we talk about this every Sunday? Like, why isn't that like the first thing we talk about? I mean, seriously. And I was so intense on that I kind of got bitter at Christianity for a little while. To my fault. Okay? And I got kind of upset that, why aren't we talking about this? And then the Lord kind of rebuked me one night in the gentle way that he does. We were reading about when the Israelites came to the mountain and when they came out of Egypt, and they said, God's like, "Come on up. I want you all to be priests and we can all have a relationship." And the people were like, "We don't want that. Moses, you go talk to him and tell us what he says." And I had been kind of doing that with the church leadership. "You go find out what I'm supposed to be focusing on and tell me." And so I had basically put my responsibility for my growth on somebody else. And that's wrong. Can't do that. Okay? So anyway, I got over that. The Lord has a way of getting you over things, doesn't he? So I spent, 2 or 3 years devouring all the material I could find on that topic, getting all my questions answered. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to present that subject and go through some of the main things I learned. And then at the end of class, if you have not received this before, we're going to pray and if you want it, you're going to walk out of here with that. Amen. I guarantee it. Okay? No question. All right. So first I want to start off with looking at the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So if you're going to take notes, you can find this first thing I'm going to quote in Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:7-8, Luke 3:16, and John 1:33. Now, you know, in the four Gospels, they don't always have the same stories in them. But when it's in all four, all of the Bible is important, but that really makes me notice what's going on here. And this is John the Baptist, and God tells him that he's supposed to announce the beginning of the ministry of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And what he tells John to say is that here's how John says it. "I baptize with water, but one is coming after me whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. And it is he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Okay? Now, when I look at that, and I think of throughout all the centuries, this is what all creation has been leading up to. The ministry of Jesus Christ beginning on the earth. And I could have think of all the things God the Father could have had John the Baptist say. Okay? All the things he could have talked about. Of all the things John could have talked about, there's two things he said. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus baptizes people with the Holy Spirit. That's the two things that God wanted said about Jesus. Now, when I look at that, that tells me that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is very important to God the Father. Would you agree? Like, if it's that important to God the Father, then my attitude should line up with that. Okay? And my attitude does line up with that. That, in my opinion, is the second most important thing that can ever happen to a human being, the first one being you meet Jesus and call Him Lord and receive eternal life. But after that, the next most important thing for any human is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, if we fast forward to the end of Jesus' time on the earth, when He's about to ascend into heaven, we're going to look at His last words. So if you'll turn with me, we're going to go to Acts chapter 1. So Jesus has, in this scene, Jesus has been crucified. He was in the grave for 3 days. Then He rose from the grave, and it says He spent 40 days with His followers telling them about the kingdom of God. And then right before He ascended, this conversation took place. Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. I'm going to come back to this. To wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So before I go further, sometimes I get this question. Baptism with water is what you do after you believe in Jesus as an outward sign of what's happened to you on the inside. It's a symbolic representation of Him being dead and coming back to life. So when you go into the water and come back up, it's a symbol of what has happened to you on the inside. Because you were dead and now you live. Right? When you believe in Jesus, you have new life. And that's getting baptized in water. But that is not this. Okay? He says, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So getting baptized with water means you go in the water and you come back out and you're wet. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, it means you go in the Holy Spirit and now you're wet with the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right? Now, during my studies, I went into this word baptize, and I was kind of looking at the history of how we know what this means. And actually, you get this cool bit of information from this ancient Greek recipe for making pickles. As funny as that sounds, this is pretty deep stuff right here. In the recipe, they had a word bapto, and then they had a word baptizo. Okay? Now, when you're making pickles, you have some boiling water, and you take a cucumber, and you dip it in the boiling water, and then you put it in the vinegar brine and leave it there. Dipping it in the water and pulling it back out is bapto. Putting it in the vinegar is baptizo. Okay? When you put the cucumber in the vinegar, the cucumber is still a cucumber, but now it's a pickle. And it has taken on the attributes of what it's been immersed into. So the vinegar has changed the cucumber into a pickle, but it's still a cucumber. Okay? And so that baptizo is the word that's used right here when it says you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying you will be pickled in the Holy Spirit. Meaning that you're going to get immersed in Him and you're still going to be yourself, but you're going to be different. And the solution you're dunked into, the vinegar, the Holy Spirit, is going to change how you are, but you're still going to be yourself. That's a deep truth. It's profound. So He says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now the Greek word here is dunamis. And in Greek language, there's different words for power, just like there it's a very specific language. So they have a word for an authority kind of power, and they have a word for an energy kind of power. Well, this is the Greek word for a miracle kind of power, supernatural power, above natural power. Okay, so Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, this dunamis is going to come on you. And you're going to be empowered in a way that you weren't before. So that's kind of how the vinegar is affecting the cucumber. All right? And then he says what it's for. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the end of the earth. Now this used to puzzle me because they had already been doing that. They had already been traveling around preaching the gospel. They had already been healing the sick. They had already been casting out demons. So what's the difference? That's a good question. So I'm going to give you an analogy that helps this make sense. So I want you to imagine there's a construction site, okay? And there's a foreman who wants the house to be built, okay? And he has all the construction workers out there working. And they're all using hand tools. They're all using hammers and hand saws and stuff like that. And some of them are more skillful than others. Some of them can run circles around the rest of them. So this would be like my dad was a carpenter, and it would be no contest. He's over there drilling nails in 2 shots, and I'm over there hitting my thumb. Okay. But the foreman wants the house to be built, so he has this van pull up that's full of power tools. And he says, come and get your power tools because I want the house to be built. And so we all go up there and we all grab our nail gun. And so now, I, with my little skill level, I can build that house so much faster than I could before. Maybe now I can keep up with my dad who's not even using the nail gun. Okay? But my dad is even faster than he was. And so the power tools are to help the people be more effective than they were before. So to answer a question I brought up earlier, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to help you be more effective than you were at whatever you're called to do. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does not make you better than somebody else. It makes you better than you were. Is that clear? Okay. So some people will say, well, this amazing evangelist person saved all these people and he wasn't baptized with the Holy Spirit. And my response is, yeah, but imagine if he was. Right? It would be even better. Right? So me getting baptized with the Holy Spirit does not make me a better teacher than somebody else. It makes me a better teacher than I was. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is like hooking an amplifier to whatever your calling is. Okay? Whatever you're called to do, this is going to help you be better at it. And we can see this from the lives of the apostles. And I'm going to pick on Peter for a minute. Now, this is armchair quarterback right here. So I look back at Peter, he was doing a lot better than I would have been if I was in his shoes. But I'm saying this to show the difference. Okay, when Jesus got arrested, before this, Peter was saying, "Lord, even if we die, like I'm never leaving you." And Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows 3 times, you're gonna have denied me 3 times." Well, Jesus gets arrested, and Peter's trying to follow along behind, and somebody says, "Hey, aren't you one of his guys?" And Peter's like, "No way, not me." And then he gets up. I forget how the second one happened, but the same thing happens again. Someone says, "Hey, aren't you one of his disciples?" He's like, "Nope." And then a little while, they're standing around a campfire, and a little slave girl walks up. She says, "Hey, aren't you one of his disciples?" And he was like, "No way." And he even cursed at her, he said. So here he is, afraid of a little girl at the campfire. Okay? And then this happens. And then they minister healing to this man at the temple gate. And they get arrested. And they bring Peter before the same group of people that a few weeks ago had put Jesus on that cross. The same people. I mean, this is a month and a half later. And they bring him before. Now remember, he was afraid of the slave girl at the campfire. And they're like, "Cut it out." And he said, "Well, I'll let you judge for yourself whether it's right to obey men or God. But as for me, I'm preaching the name of Jesus." And then my commentary says, "So put that in your pipe and smoke it." Right? He's a totally different man. Right? I mean, he's himself still, but he's different. Okay? So when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, that's what you should be expecting. Whatever you're called to, whatever you're drawn to, you're going to have a new ability to be more effective at it. And we're not comparing, right? All right. Does that make sense to everybody? Great. All right. I wish someone would have told me that. That would have saved me a lot of trouble. So then, it says 10 days later, so if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 2, we're going to read what happens. Jesus said, in a few days, this baptism with the Holy Spirit is going to happen. And then it says, 10 days later, this is what happened. So Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, now I always like to pause here on this word, suddenly. It says, suddenly a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind came and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And see, I always thought that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something I've got to talk him into. I've got to pray and beg. But this is the Holy Spirit is rushing, like he can't wait to get there. Like he's rushing in. Like he's been waiting for thousands of years to do this. Okay? And when I'm saying this because don't ever get the idea that the Holy Spirit is reluctant about this. He is way more excited about it than you are. Right? So when we pray at the end, we're not begging. No begging needed. All right. It says it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. Then it appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice it says they began. Another problem I had all those years was I thought, okay, I'm going to pray, and if God wants me to have this, he's going to make my mouth move. It doesn't work like that. God is not in the business of taking over people's body. That is the other kingdom acts like that. The kingdom of God is invitation. You're invited to participate. You're invited to receive. So it says, they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? This is very similar to something I shared a minute ago when Peter was in the boat and he saw Jesus walking on the water. And he said, Lord, if that's you, then bid me come. So Jesus said, come on. But Jesus did not come over there and grab Peter's leg and pull it and put it in the water. And God didn't do that either. Peter had to choose. Okay, if you said that, then it's true. I believe it. So here it goes. And he stepped out and he put his foot down and God met him right there. Anyone that has had any experience operating in the power of God can tell you that that is how it always works. I don't want to say always, but I want to say almost always. God's telling you to do something and you're not sure and you just do it. And somehow it works and you come away thanking God. And there's no way you're going to be full of yourself after that because you know it wasn't you. Okay? Peter wasn't strutting around like, yeah, look at me, I walked on the water. He was probably amazed. Man, I walked on the water. What in the world? Right? All right. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the biggest questions, I still run into it, and it's the one I had, is that I prayed and nothing happened, so I guess God doesn't want me to have it. That is false. What if Peter stood in the boat and said, I guess he doesn't want me to walk on the water? Right? God said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. What if I said, well, I'm not doing that. I guess it's not God's will. And I'm just going to blame it on God holding something back from me. So you have to believe what God says. If he says it, then it is true, whether you're feeling it, whether you're experiencing it or not. At least that's how I am. All right. All right. So they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when they started to speak, the Holy Spirit jumped on that and he turns it into something that makes sense to God. Okay? It doesn't make sense to you, it makes sense to God. All right. Now, I'm not going to have time to go through all of these. I have a bunch of articles on this on my website. So if you're interested in some of this, I would encourage you to go to bornofspirit.net, because I just don't have time in this class to do it. Bornofspirit.net. But I'm just going to give you some statistics here for all of you analytical people. In the Bible, every time someone speaks in tongues for the first time, it is always when they're getting baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? In the Bible, there's four stories of people getting baptized with the Holy Spirit with different levels of detail. And if you want to read these yourself, they're all in Acts. They're in Acts chapter 2, 8, 10, and 19. So those are all in the book of Acts. Those chapters are where people get baptized with the Holy Spirit and you get some level of detail. Every time it happens, it's an event that happens in an instant. It's not a process that happens over time. Every time it happens is something that's noticeable to everyone present. Like there's no wondering whether it happened or not. There's some kind of evidence. Okay? Every time the Bible tells us what that evidence is, it's always that they spoke in tongues. Okay? All right? Every time. Every time it happened, everyone present that wanted it received it. There was never a time where some of them got it, but some of them were told to wait, that it wasn't God's timing for them. That is not in the Bible. Okay? The only time anybody was told to wait was before Jesus ascended. And he said, wait, because this is coming in a few days. That's the only time anyone was ever told to wait. So see, what used to happen to me was I would go up for prayer and they would pray and I didn't know I was supposed to do anything. I was waiting on God to take over my body. And then they would say, well, I guess it's not your time. Don't tell somebody that because you're not telling the truth. Okay? There's confusion. There's some kind of confusion, but it doesn't mean God has something good and he's not going to give it to you. That's what the devil told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You can't have this fruit because I have good that I'm withholding from you because I don't want you to know the knowledge of good and evil. Nowhere did anybody get told to wait. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? I felt like that was kind of a strong point there for somebody. Okay? So if you've prayed in the past and it didn't happen, it's okay. I did it for 10 years. Okay? So it's okay. God's not mad at you. I just didn't understand. Well, tonight you're going to understand. Amen? All right. Every time it tells us what happened, everybody that received it, every one of them spoke in tongues. It doesn't say some of them spoke in tongues and some of them didn't. Some of them spoke in tongues, but some of them did something else. Okay? Because of all of that data, I have to come to the conclusion that when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you receive the ability to speak in tongues right then.
Yes.
Right? I can't come to any other conclusion without contradicting Scripture. Okay? So that's what I believe. I believe when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. Yes?
I'm thinking that you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You just were holding it back because you were waiting on God to do something. So did you already have the gift or no?
I did not.
No.
Let me tell a story about that. So, you know, I was talking about how God makes you more effective at whatever you're called to do. That's part of the purpose of the baptism. Now, I've been leading Bible studies pretty much my whole adult life. Okay? And I've always studied the Word, but I was never one to memorize Scripture. And so, during the season, I can remember a couple examples specifically. During the season where my wife was sick and she wasn't healed yet, we would be praying and she would say, can you just say some Bible verses. And like, I knew like John 3:16 and stuff like that you learn in Sunday school. But I didn't have all these Bible verses. A few weeks after I get baptized with the Holy Spirit, people start saying, man, how do you know all these Bible verses? Because I would be sitting in a room when someone's talking and I would know the Bible verse that goes with what they're talking about. I would just know it. To me, it seemed so normal, I didn't realize anything had changed. But one night, Teresa was like, what? How are you doing this? And I was like, what are you talking about? And so then I would go back and listen to a recording of the meeting I was in, and the person's talking, and I'm saying, yeah, that's Ezekiel 16. And when I'm sitting there reading, I'm like, I don't know what that is. And so God was training me, and I didn't know this was available, and I've never heard of anybody else getting this. But when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I got this internal Rolodex that it's a bunch of index cards with Bible verses on it. And God started training me, not when I was in front of people, but when I was in the audience. Okay? And so if someone would have given me a PowerPoint while someone's speaking, I could have sat there and put the Bible verses on for the whole sermon on the thing. And it was just like it was just rolling in my brain. I didn't ask for this. I don't know how it works. I can't make it happen. Okay? And then a couple of years into this, God told me to stop using notes and outlines when I teach. Now, if you've been watching here tonight, I don't have any notes. And all these Bible verses, that's different. I wasn't like that. I did not have that. And so when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, that changed. And so I know, this is all to answer your question, like all those times I had not received it. I received it when I spoke in tongues for me. Okay? And again, that doesn't make me a better teacher than somebody else, because it doesn't mean it's better not to use notes. It's just what he had for me. And so I need to do it the way he wants me to do it. And it works. And I've taught, probably it's been about 6 years since he told me that. And I used to teach this class every Wednesday night. We did it for 4 years in a row. And I never had notes one time. And people will be talking, and the Bible verse just, it's like an index card pops up, and I know what it is. And I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I just read it. That's wild, isn't it? So anyway, that's just an example of whatever you're called to do, expect to get some amplification on it. Amen? All right. Now, before we move forward, there's something else I want to read in this story. If you're going to go down, I'm going to read verse 31, 32, 33, around in there. Okay? So, on the day of Pentecost, it says they all spoke in tongues. And then it says a big crowd gathered around because of all the commotion. And there was about 120 people there. And they're all speaking in tongues in different languages that none of them understand themselves. And all these people gather around and saying, what the heck is this? Because they could hear them in their own language. And what they were hearing them say, now here's another misconception, okay? It says they heard them declaring the wonderful works of God. Now, if we're in a room and we're all declaring the wonderful works of God, what is that? What are we doing? Worship. We are worshiping. That is worship. That is not preaching the gospel. That is worshiping God. So if someone says the gift of tongues is just so you can go preach the gospel in a foreign land, that's not in the Bible. Because that's not what was happening. They were worshiping. Right? And that's one of the main things you get to do when you speak in tongues, is that you get to worship God and go beyond your natural intellect. You ever been wanting to praise God and the words aren't doing it justice? God, you're awesome, but that's not good enough. Well, this lets you go past that. Anybody know what I mean? And you can praise Him in a way that your brain and your mouth could not keep up with. All right. So this happens, and Peter preaches the gospel for the first time to all these people. And I'm not going to go into detail about the whole thing, but I want to point out one thing here. So he's telling them about Jesus who had been crucified. And in Acts 2:32, he says, this Jesus God has raised up, which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and what?
Hear.
He poured out this which you now see and hear. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is something you can hear. Okay? Now, picture this scene. It says Jesus ascended and he was seated at the right hand of the Father. And then he received the promise of the Holy Spirit that he poured out, which you now see and hear. The promise of the Father is not a promise to you. It is a promise between the Father and the Son. The Father promised the Son that once you complete the mission, I am going to give you the Holy Spirit and you can pour the Holy Spirit out on your new wife. Okay? Because it's a promise between God the Father and God the Son, I really don't have to wonder whether he's keeping that promise. Right? I can be 100% confident that that is what Jesus wants for me, that is what God wants for me, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants for me. There's no questions. That's another reason at the end where we're going to pray, we're not going to beg, because you don't have to. Again, this God planned this for thousands of years before it happened. This was always the plan. All right, so the next one I don't have time to read, but I need to illustrate a point out of this. And it's going to be in Acts chapter 10, and it's the story of Peter and Cornelius. And I encourage you to go read this sometime. But Peter is in this town, and there's a man named Cornelius, and he's a Gentile, and he's in another town. And it says Cornelius was a God-fearing man, so he knew he was worshiping God to whatever he knew about. But he didn't know about Jesus. He just knew there's some God to be worshiping. So he's worshiping God the best he knows how to, and it says an angel showed up and said, Cornelius, send to the next town and look for a man named Peter and tell him to come here, and he's going to tell you what you need to know. So he sends some people out. Peter's in the other town, and he is relaxing. It says he's up on the roof, and he goes into a trance, and God gives him a vision three times. And in this vision, it says a sheet lowers down with all kinds of animals on it that the Jews are not allowed to eat. And then a voice in the vision says, Peter, get up, kill and eat. And Peter says, Lord, I don't eat anything unclean. And the voice says, do not call unclean what I have made clean. And that happens three times. And Peter wakes up, and then the Holy Spirit says, there's some dudes about to show up, and you need to go with them. Well, a few minutes later, these guys show up. They're looking for Peter. Can you imagine being in this story? And so Peter goes with them. Now, if you don't know much about the culture back then, the Jews are racist. They look at Gentiles like dogs. Okay? So they lead him to this man's house. And Peter, it looks like he doesn't want to go in there. But because of three visions and a word from the Holy Spirit and an angel visitation, he's kind of got the picture that he needs to go in here. And so he says, well, I guess I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And so he starts talking about the Jesus. He starts telling Cornelius, a Gentile, about Jesus. While he's talking, now when Peter shows up, Cornelius falls on the ground and starts to worship Peter. And Peter says, get up, I'm a man just like you are. I'm saying that to show that Cornelius was, that's how much he knew about Christianity. Okay? He was not advanced, to say the least. He had never heard of it before. Peter starts telling them about Jesus, and in the middle of it, Cornelius and all of his household break out and start speaking in tongues. So in one instant, not only did they believe the gospel and receive salvation, but they also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit almost immediately. So because of this story, I'm going to tell you the list of prerequisites that you need in order to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I'll put the rest of them over here. Number one, you need to be saved. You need to be a Christian for at least 1 second. And that's all of the requirements. If you have believed in Jesus, then you have met all the prerequisites. How's that? Amen. Because Cornelius didn't know any better than to worship a man 2 minutes ago. And now he's speaking in tongues. Okay? That's why we have to look at this. This is not a reward for years of Christian service and Bible study and tithe paying and church going. It's none of that. This is God wants you to have a nail gun because he wants you to build the house. Okay? You need to think of it like that. All right. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about what speaking in tongues is. And I encourage you again to go on my website because I have a lot of scripture on this, okay? Jesus, help me do this in the amount of time I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. So, a human being is a spirit being that has a soul and lives inside of a body. Okay? You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. And so your body is your physical body. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, all that kind of stuff, all your logic and reason. But your spirit is you. And your spirit's purpose is communication and communion and relationship with the Lord. And the Bible tells us that when you come to Jesus, your spirit was dead and now it comes to life, whatever that means. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? And when you come to Jesus and you are born again, born of spirit, your spirit, the Bible starts telling you that you are made perfect. Hebrews 10:14. That you are immediately, completely, and totally sanctified. You are totally righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You are absolutely, completely holy. Ephesians 4:24. Okay? You are complete. I think that's Colossians 2:10. Okay? Complete, lacking nothing. Your spirit, 1 John 4:17 says that as Jesus is right now, so are we in this world right now. So your spirit looks like Jesus exactly, whatever that means, okay? But your soul and your body, when you got born again, your soul and your body did not come to new life. They are the same as they were. And so the Christian life is a process of helping you, using the Bible and your relationship with the Lord, to change your thinking and your emotions so that it lines up with God, okay? You change from old ways of thinking into ways of thinking that line up with God's way of thinking. They call that being transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Romans 12:1, 2, and 3, right in there, it says, do not be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and present your body as a living sacrifice. All right? So your spirit is perfect. And it's always good and always agrees with God. Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of the Lord with my inner man. Okay? But your soul and your body may or may not agree with God depending on what day it is. And when God made us, He made us so that our spirit is in charge. Our spirit is the captain of the ship. Our spirit is supposed to be in the driver's seat. And your soul and your body make great tools and make great followers. But they make horrible leaders. What if everything you did was everything your body wanted to do all the time? It doesn't take much imagination to imagine what a train wreck the world would be if that was true. Because I would be eating a bunch of more donuts than I do. Same thing with your mind and your emotion. Now, someone like me, I have navigated my life. I'm just analytical by nature, so I think if I can figure it out, that's the way to live. But if you're analytical or logically minded, you know that your math and your brain only works if you have all the data, if you know all the variables. Well, we don't have them all. And so your mind, even though it's a good tool, it's not meant to be your leader because you can't trust it. Has anybody ever been sure of something and then it was wrong? Then you know what I mean. Right. Same thing with your emotions. Your emotions are good. God gave them to us. But we're not supposed to let them be in charge. Okay? What if all of us went by our emotions all the time? That would not turn out well. All right. So with this in mind, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, if I pray in a tongue, then my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I'm going to read that again. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding or my mind is unfruitful. I'm going to say this several different ways. 1 Corinthians 14:14. When I pray in tongues, who is praying when I pray in tongues? Is it the Holy Spirit? What does the Bible say? Not what your history has said. What does the Bible say? My spirit. When I pray in tongues, I am talking. Okay? My spirit is talking. Now, my spirit never has a wrong motive. My spirit is never selfish and praying for out of order. The motives of my spirit are pure. So when I'm praying in tongues, it's always the right prayer because I'm not having to figure it out. It is giving me the ability to go past my mental and emotional limits. Okay? It allows my spirit to use my vocal cords to make sounds. There's another way to say this. Okay? But when you're doing it, if you're like me and you're used to, let's say, your mind being in charge, then while your spirit is talking, your mind is going to be sitting there going, foul. That doesn't make sense. We can't do that. You're just making that up. This is not doing anything. It does not compute. Nobody's ever had that happen. If that's happening to you, then that is proof you're doing it right. So when you speak in tongues for the first time and you're sitting there thinking, am I doing it right? Am I just making this up? That is proof that you are doing it right. Because that tells me your mind is not a mental activity you're doing and your mind is objecting. Amen? It took me a long time to learn that. Because now some of y'all are going to laugh, but I know some of y'all have done this. When I first start speaking in tongues, I'm like, okay, I remember that syllable. Let me look that up on Google and find out what that was. Or I'll be praying in tongues, and then I'm sitting there thinking, it sounds like I'm saying the same thing over and over. And when I'm doing that, then I can't do it anymore because I've just moved from the spirit into the soul. And the soul is driving the car again. See, I told you that was fake. Okay? So you have to fight through that. So when I was, especially when I was first learning, man, the night I got baptized with the Holy Spirit and all that crazy stuff happened, and I prayed in tongues for so long and all that, I sat down on the couch. I mean, it wasn't 30 seconds after I sat down, I sat there thinking, did I do it right? Now, what data am I going to use to judge whether I did it right? Let's see, hands in the air, looking like an idiot, like... How are you going to judge if it's a real language? Do you know all 6,000 languages? And I've heard people say, well, that's just gibberish. Well, how do you know? Exactly. I mean, one night, my wife and I were walking out of Kohl's, and this Asian family comes walking up, and they're talking to each other. And I'm like, that sounds like they're speaking in tongues. Because it sounds like the same thing over and over to me. Like, if you turn on some foreign language movie, it sounds like they're just jibber-jabber. Because you can't judge all the language. You don't know if it's real. And so when you're praying in the Spirit, you are speaking in a language that God understands, but you don't. And it's making your mind realize it's not in the boss. And for this reason, you will find that after you start speaking in tongues more often, it's easier to go along with God, what God's telling you to do, because your mind is used to not being the boss or your emotions. Because God will tell you to do something, and if you run the math on it, you're like, there is no way holding this stick out is going to make that Red Sea part. Yeah. Right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when you speak in tongues, it's like getting a chiropractic alignment. Like the Spirit is the boss. Okay? So the more you do that, the Bible tells us in places like Jude 20, when you pray in tongues, you build up yourself on your most holy faith. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says that when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself or you strengthen yourself. You make yourself stronger. Again, I have all this and a lot more on my website. I just don't have time to go through all of it. One last thing I want to mention. So last week we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. And how this is when the Holy Spirit initiates something, Let me draw this. The gifts of the Spirit. So here's you. Here is the Holy Spirit. Now he's inside of you, but I draw this to show a flow of information. And here is other people. And when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, the Holy Spirit gives you something. By faith, you act on it, and someone else receives a benefit. Okay? So the flow of information is going from the Holy Spirit through you to other people. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, when I'm speaking in tongues, I am speaking to God, not to man, for no one understands me. It's the opposite direction. That's not for other people. When I'm praying in tongues, I am talking to God, and it doesn't need any interpretation. If it's the gifts of the Spirit and there's tongues and he's starting it, and there does need to be interpretation so people can receive a benefit. Okay? So the gift of tongues that it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 is when God prompts you to use your prayer language because he's going to produce something for someone else. Does that make sense? The flow is in the opposite direction. But when I'm praying in tongues, or some people call it their prayer language that you get when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are talking to God, not to other people. So if you're praying in tongues and you're being respectful of your environment and someone's like, you can't do that because there needs to be interpretation, then you can say, well, I wasn't talking to you.
Amen.
Amen. Because we can, if we all wanted to pray in English, that's not out of order, is it? If we all wanted to thank God at the same time like we were doing earlier when we gave the testimony, is that okay to do as a group? Well, it's okay to pray in the Spirit as a group. The Bible tells us if there's people that in the group that don't believe, that they're unsaved, or it says if they lack understanding, if they're ignorant, then they can have a problem with that. But if you're a believer and you're not ignorant, you should not have a problem with it. Just to be blunt. Okay? And I'm not calling people ignorant. I'm saying if you have a problem with people speaking in tongues, then you don't understand. That's what I'm saying. Now, when I pray in tongues, again, I'm respectful of my environment. I don't go in Target and get on the microphone. Okay? So I'm not talking about being stupid. But there's no rule that says no one can ever hear you pray in your prayer language. And you're not allowed to do it when we're worshiping God on Sunday morning or in your car or whatever. All right? All right. So now we are going to come to the time where we're going to if you've never received it before, get ready because you're about to. So I'm going to lead us in lead the group in receiving it. Now, I would like to ask a favor. If you have received this before, you already speak in tongues. If you would do me a favor, just participate with me so that people don't feel self-conscious. Okay? Just do it right along with me. That way nobody's listening to anybody. You're analyzing each other. All right? All right. So in the Bible, in Luke 11, Jesus is telling his disciples to pray. And he says, ask and you might receive. Oh, you shall receive. Seek and you might find. No, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who asks it is given, and to everyone that's knocked it is open. And then he says, which of you, if your kids came to you and asked you for some food, would you give them a snake or a scorpion? And that's ridiculous. And he said, and this is in Luke 11, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That whole thing is about you asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God is always going to say yes. And you don't have to wonder if it's going to be something bad. It's going to be good. Amen. Okay? Yep. So we're going to do this in two parts. First, we're going to say a prayer telling God that we're ready to receive this. We want whatever he wants to give us. After we pray this, I'm going to lead us in taking a step out of the boat on the water. Okay? All right. So if I could just, everyone, just close your eyes and bow your heads and just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
I believe your word.
I believe your word.
I believe this is for me.
I believe this is for me.
I want every good gift,
I want every good gift
that you want me to have.
That you want me to have.
So I ask you, Jesus,
to baptize me
with the Holy Spirit,
just like you promised.
And I thank you in advance
for what I'm about to receive.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Now keep your head bowed. Now I'm going to tell you, if you want a picture in heaven, the Father is on His throne and His son or daughter that He loves has just come up and said, "Dad, that thing you've been wanting to give me, I think I'm ready." And He is very excited. And He wants you to have it. So He says yes, and He holds out this new gift for you. And now it's all you have to do is reach out and take it. So that's what this next part is going to be. So we're going to keep our heads bowed. John 7, 37 through 39 tells us this. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being, out of his spirit, will flow rivers of living water." And by this, he spoke concerning the Spirit. So we're going to come to Jesus and drink, and living water is going to come back out of your mouth. And it's going to be you speaking in tongues for the first time. Okay. Now, I want to say again, you're going to have to choose to step out of the boat. God's not going to make you do it. Nobody in here has to participate. It's voluntary. But if you want to, the answer is yes, and it is going to work. All right. So we're going to symbolize this, coming to Jesus to drink, by taking a deep breath in and breathing out. Now, I'm going to run us through this. We're going to do a practice run, and then we're going to do it for real, just so everybody knows what we're doing. Okay? So we're going to come to Jesus and drink three times by breathing in and breathing out. And on your third exhale for this practice, when you breathe out, I just want you to make a sigh that's just loud enough for you to hear yourself. Okay? What we're doing is we're making our body submit. Okay? So right now, let's come to Jesus and drink for the first time. So breathe in and breathe out. And let's come and drink a second time. Breathe in and breathe out. Let's come and drink a third time. When you exhale, make your sigh. And Holy Spirit, I know you're going to do this because you always do every time without fail. Okay, here we go. This time we're going to breathe in and out, come to Jesus and drink three times. When you exhale and you make your sigh, that's when you're going to take that step of faith and you're going to give God an offering of whatever sounds come to mind. And you're going to start by just making it up and just starting to speak. And when you do that, just like when Peter's foot hit the water, God is going to meet you right there and turn it into something that makes sense to Him. Okay? But you're going to start. All right. When that happens, your brain is likely to raise some objections and just let it keep arguing and keep going. All right? Here we go. Let's come to Jesus and drink our first time. And breathe out. Let's come and drink a second time. Breathe in. And breathe out. Breathe in your third time. And as you exhale, just start to speak loud enough for you can hear yourself. Now this is the time to speak by faith. Jesus knows you love Him, so you don't need to tell Him right now. He knows you're thankful, so don't be saying thank you, Jesus. This is the time to speak by faith in a new language. In Jesus' name. Now just keep doing that, and I'm going to be praying for the group. So I command all unbelief to fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, my faith rise up. Any spirit wanting to tempt people to doubt, I silence you in the name of Jesus. Everyone in here is going to receive the promise of the Father. Just keep, y'all doing great. Just keep going. Nosso tokoya. Father, we honor you. We bless you. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord over this place. You are Lord over your people. We are receiving our power tools right now. Father, I thank you that you keep your word. I thank you that you keep your promise. Just keep speaking for a few minutes. And just do it loud enough where you can hear yourself. Father, I just pray your blessing in Jesus' name. We worship you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. Just keep going just for a few minutes. Father, we worship you. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are awesome. We worship you. Jesus is King. You are King of the universe. Just keep going. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Father, just receive the praise that's coming off of our lips right now. We honor you, Lord, with the fruit of our lips. Nasokura mashita ramaso kita ramayani. Harashika ramaso no yati ramanda kita ramayadi. Gosha namaso koriani, dalamanda kuyadi. Okay, so we're just going to wrap that up right now. So, we're all in control of ourselves. So let's just calm it down for a second. And Jesus, I thank you that you kept your promise, that everyone that wanted it received it. In Jesus' name. Right now, in the Bible, when God did something awesome, a lot of times they would build like a remembrance or a stone tower or something, or an altar. That's what they called it, a remembrance. Since we don't have rocks to pile up in here, we're going to just do this with our words. So what is today, the 25th? I'm sorry, August 2nd. August 1st. August 1st. Man, time is going by. So just repeat after me. In the name of Jesus. Today, August 1st, 2018. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I received my prayer language. It belongs to me. I'm going to use it. And nobody can take it from me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.